The AccuWeather forecast says clouds and a little sun here and there today. Chance for showers and even thunderstorms. High near 81 degrees. Southeast Wisconsin, though, could be seeing some strong thunderstorms rolling through any time this afternoon or evening. That's according to AccuWeather's Elliot Abrams, says they're continuing to move in from the west.
We can very well see a thunderstorm with strong gusty winds, torrential rains, and flooding in some neighborhoods. And it's a very strong system. And we're just east of the area that is listed as having the best chance for severe weather. It looks like most of it's going to be in the western part of the state and into northwest Illinois. But nonetheless, there probably will be some thunderstorms. Anytime from about the noon through 9 or 10 o'clock, I think it's most likely at the end of the afternoon or this evening.
Abrams has it going into the weekend. We'll lose some of that sticky humidity. That'll make conditions a little bit more comfortable. Two Mount Pleasant Auto Dealership burglaries occurring between 144 and 310 this morning. Palm and Chrysler at 8320 Washington Avenue and Racine Toyota next to the interstate on Highway 20. At Palm, the suspect or suspects smashed the glass to a showroom walk-in door to gain entry, then attempted to steal a Jeep Cherokee off the showroom floor by driving it into a glass wall repeatedly but unsuccessfully. The Jeep was abandoned while still running, jammed against that wall halfway out of the building. A news release says the suspects then unsuccessfully tried to steal another vehicle off the showroom floor and then took off, believed to be in a white Ford Escape that was stolen from Pecaro Ford, also on Highway 20, in a Monday burglary. In the meantime, at Racine Toyota, the suspects gained entry by smashing the glass to a walk-in door near the service department, then drove a car from inside through the overhead garage door and abandoned that car out on the dealership lot. Meanwhile, a 13-year-old boy involved in the crash of one vehicle taken from Pecaro Ford July the 4th got released from the hospital and is now in juvenile detention, waiting for a hearing on a previous burglary and other felony charges in Milwaukee County. The Village of Sturtevant's Community Development Authority backing plans to create another tax incremental district, which, if finalized by the end of September, would have a base value retroactive to this past January 1st. Village Administrator Mary Cole saying that once the new TID map was created, incorporating the Durand Avenue and Wisconsin Street corridors, they came to the realization this was in line with the village's comprehensive plan.
Everyone in Racine County formatted their own comprehensive plan in the last 10 years. Basically, so you don't have spot zoning, you're preparing for future growth. Cole County did this to be in line to, have a goal for future development. So at first we had it just the Highway 11 corridor, but we expanded this area out to be in line with the comp plan, because that's what made logical sense, because that's what the village's vision has been, to see growth. It gives you just more room for redevelopment along that corridor.
Assessor Jim Henke said the 2016 property assessment estimate for the village is $577 million, and the new TID, recommended to be mixed use, will go for 20 years. The move on Sturtevant's next tax incremental district will be a joint review board being created, a public hearing to be held August 23rd. And in Kenosha County, the town of Paris Clerk reviewing petition signatures filed by a local resident seeking to recall three board members because of a land deal with the village of Summers. Joe Kolnick, according to the Kenosha News, filed separate petitions to recall town chairman Virgil Gentz and supervisors Ken Monson and Ron Kammerzelt. The paperwork indicates that each failed to serve the best interest of all Town of Paris residents who had no voice in the process. Kolnick was part of the lawsuit that was filed with the city of Kenosha, trying to stop the agreement, which transfers land in Paris to Summers at the interstate. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave to host a meeting this afternoon of all parties connected to efforts at creating a short-term homeless shelter, for which feedback to the current proposed site has not been all that positive. The meeting going to take place in the first floor conference room at the courthouse. Delagrave looking to facilitate discussion, maybe get the situation closer toward a resolution.
The group, the said group that's willing to run this, identified a location, but we thought it's pretty close to a school, probably not the best, so we're kind of starting back at ground zero or from the beginning. And, part of our discussion today will be, I have a list of properties that I will be disseminating to the group to see if, this might potentially be a good fit or not, and go from there.
The negative feedback thus far has been referenced the group Segway publicly announcing a building at 961 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive as a proposed site across the street from Julian Thomas Elementary School, located next to a bar. Mayor John Dickert strongly suggesting that the group had spoken prematurely. The Wisconsin Supreme Court says a law that allows the state to revoke daycare providers' licenses for life is constitutional. The case out of Racine County. Lawmakers passed a 2009 law that allows permanent revocation of licenses and certifications of daycare providers who are convicted of welfare fraud. Racine County permanently revoked provider Sonia Blake's certification in 2010, a background check revealing a 1986 welfare fraud conviction. She filed a lawsuit, argued the law violated her rights to equal protection and due process. A 5-2 ruling against it, the Supreme Court saying the law creates harsh results for people such as Blake, but the statutes support the legislature's goal of reducing public benefits fraud. The Burlington Common Council getting an update on a study of the municipal pool and its badly needed renovation after a phase one completion of the study by the Ayers Associates consultants. Board President Scott Hoffman talking about fundraising efforts toward operational costs and a hope for a referendum on the November ballot.
Our goal at this point is to raise money for operations of the pool. We would like to see this project come to City Council with a recommendation for a referendum. We would like to see that referendum cover the entire cost of the pool.
The city's consultant now preparing at least three designs for the pool to be presented July 19th for feedback. Community input will also be sought, including online, with an upcoming pool party to provide some of the pictures, if you will, for which people may offer comment. Kenosha County Judge Chad Kirkman revoking all bond for 24-year-old Fianque Jenkins, $46,000, according to court records, after he failed to make a court appearance on six felony charges, including sexual assault of a child and child enticement. Jenkins alleged to have approached a 15-year-old girl last December, abducted and drugged her, then committed the sexual assault at a Kenosha apartment. He's accused of human trafficking with a similar crime in Sheboygan County, for which a warrant was issued last month. The Wisconsin Humane Society removing eight cats from a home in the 1600 block of Dean Boulevard in Racine yesterday with the help of police. Spokesperson Angela Speed would only confirm the number of cats removed, five adults and three kittens, that are currently in their custody at the Chicory Road location. The Racine Health Department put a cannot be used for human habitation occupancy or use sign on that home. Federal health officials advising anybody seeking a flu vaccination this year not to get the flu mist, but instead go for the traditional needle injection. State Health Officer Karen McEwen says they're hoping that those in need won't use this warning as an excuse not to get the vaccination at all.
We know that some people may prefer not to have a shot with a needle. Some people are a little concerned about needles, but in this case, we strongly encourage them to go ahead and take that shot. It's over quickly, and it does provide protection for the season for them and their family.
The CDC recommending people not use the flu mist this year because there are concerns about just how effective it has actually been in preventing the illness. State Department of Transportation says 51 traffic accident deaths were documented last month. That is seven more than a year ago, making it the fourth safest month of June since the end of World War II. Traffic deaths from January through June about 9% higher than the same period last year. And starting out in July, over the just concluded holiday weekend, 10 fatalities reported in the state. New numbers showing the nation's unemployment lines getting a lot shorter last week, and Wisconsin was a factor. Department of Labor has 254,000 Americans filing first-time claims, 16,000 fewer than the week before. The sharpest drop in claims included Wisconsin. And Tucson, Arizona is the best under-the-radar food city in the country, according to Wine Enthusiast. It says Tucson's mountain backdrop and unique restaurants, plus the wide range of options, some of the qualities that contribute to a great food experience in Tucson. Number two on the list is Madison, Wisconsin. The publication saying the capital city may be a college town, but its restaurants seem suddenly all grown up. It says Madison's sophisticated eats rely heartily on regionally farmed ingredients despite the seriously harsh winters. Baltimore, Dallas, St. Petersburg, Florida round out the top five. Remember last year that big community meeting at Gateway Technical College in Racine, trying to get federal Promise Zone accreditation for the goal of attacking poverty? Well, the application did not make the cut, again, despite making the list of finalists. Receiving that designation would open the door to funding sources which could go towards such things as crime reduction, improved education, and enhanced economic efforts. Evansville, Indiana, the only community in the entire Midwest to receive a Promise Zone designation. The Kenosha City Council, without discussion last night, approving a temporary retailer's license needed for the Kenosha Kingfish baseball team to hold a home run derby at the Lakefront Harbor July 18th, all part of the festivities related to the North Woods League's All-Star Game at Simmons Field. Top sluggers from across the league will be launching baseballs toward Lake Michigan from 52nd Street and 6th Avenue and appear extending out into the harbor. A buoy line with field dimensions of Simmons Field will be set up over the water, defining the park's dimensions. Companies all across the state being invited by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to attend a trip to South America in September. It's a trade mission, which will include stops in Chile and Argentina. WEDC officials say the state's industry strengths in agricultural machinery, electric power equipment, food processing, and more line up well with the needs of markets in those two nations. A $40 million federal grant will help to expand a four-mile stretch of Interstate 3990 near Janesville a little bit sooner than expected. The grant is coming from the first year of the Fast Lane program. The State Department of Transportation says this funding means that the work will begin in the year 2018, not 2020. When finished, there will be 8 lanes to that interstate section instead of 4. And no winner last night in the Powerball lottery game jackpot, so the estimated prize, $288 million for Saturday night. Mega Millions, the jackpot to $508 million and counting. No winner since March. The next try for that is tomorrow night. An ordinance designed to put additional requirements on the placement of violent sex offenders in the city of Kenosha approved by aldermen last night with little discussion. It was sponsored by Alderman David Bogdala. The change requiring those offenders to have some sort of financial interest in the residence in which they are placed. Even though the language does not specifically mention sex offenders, he said it is designed to address situations like the one in Wheatland this year, in which a judge put a Racine County sex offender into a home through an agreement with a third party.
When we watched what happened with the town of Wheatland and how the state came in and essentially acted as the third party by placing violent sex offenders in a particular location, that particular offender has no ties to the property. They don't sign a lease, they don't pay for it, they're not responsible for the property.
He said the new ordinance was crafted so that it will have no effect on a homeowner who, say, wants to rent out to out-of-town guests, such as so-called Airbnbs.
Sort of like an Uber bed and breakfast where people go online and they rent out their homes, their properties for a couple of days, for a weekend, for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. You know, we're not saying that that's a bad thing. In fact, some people find that more appealing than to do a hotel. And given the fact that we've got an issue with hotel space in Kenosha, we don't want to discourage any of that.
The ordinance also prohibits anybody from living in rental housing in the city for fewer than 7 days unless they meet the exceptions listed, and that includes such facilities as nursing and group homes, hotels and motels, and licensed boarding houses. Funeral services coming up Saturday in the town of Waterford for James Schmidt. He died in a farming accident last Friday. He was 49 years old. According to the medical examiner's office, Schmidt fell into a vertical feed mixer at his family's farm on Highway 83. The funeral service is at 1 p.m. Saturday, St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in Waterford. A memorial service, meanwhile, scheduled next Tuesday evening in Racine for recent Mount Pleasant fire victim Lori Leisner. The 49-year-old's body discovered inside her burning home in the 6600 block of Durand Avenue last Friday night. How that fire started could not be determined, and the cause of her death has not yet been released. The memorial service will take place at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home, 6 p.m. next Tuesday. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.